While rhetoric about China and Mexico dominated trade talk on the campaign trail, the Trump administration is lowering the first boom on Canada. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The Commerce Department has announced a new set of tariffs that would raise the cost of wood in the U.S., produced by several Canadian lumber companies. I'm joined by Marketplace's Kimberly Adams live from Washington. Kimberly, what's behind this?
So this is a fight specifically over softwood lumber. It's used for a lot of things related to home building, like flooring, siding, fences. And we imported more than $5.5 billion of this kind of wood from Canada last year. Now, in Canada, this lumber tends to come from government land. And the U.S. says the Canadian government unfairly subsidizes its industry. Canada, of course, says these accusations are baseless and unfounded. This fight has been going on for decades, David. And there was a truce of sorts, but it expired in late 2015.
So Commerce is going to impose what's called preliminary countervailing duty, not set in stone yet. What does preliminary mean?
So in this case, it means that there's an extra 3% to 24% import tariffs added to incoming lumber from Canada. Some U.S. companies will have to pay these fees retroactively if they've, for example, received shipments in the last 90 days. Canada and American companies opposed to this move say that's going to mean higher costs for home construction. Now, some American companies with existing contracts to import more of that lumber are going to be on the hook for the higher prices, which will make some think twice about putting in new orders. But David, another aspect of this is it's kind of an opening salvo for NAFTA talks. President Trump wants to renegotiate that deal, and this debate is going to be part of it.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, thank you. There will be a new agriculture secretary today as former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue is sworn in. President Trump is set to meet with farm industry reps at the White House. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports on agriculture's shopping list.
Not all of President Trump's policies sit well with everyone invited to today's meeting, including
Zippy Duval, American Farm Bureau President.
Zippy Duval is excited about regulatory reform. He likes Sonny Perdue as the pick for Secretary of Agriculture, but he's worried about immigration. He wants a robust guest worker program, not just deportations.
If we just handle immigration through an enforcement policy, it could tremendously handicap agriculture and being able to get their crops planted, taken care of, and harvested.
Duval also wants more open markets, beyond the $200 billion of agriculture goods the U.S. already ships out each year. Duncan Wood with the Woodrow Wilson Center says good trade relations are key for U.S. agriculture.
U.S. farmers really do now depend upon global markets to support the price of their products here in the United States.
He says exports are 20% of U.S. agricultural business. Losing any share of that would have a big impact. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Documentary about wealth and poverty in America that premieres on the PBS World Channel tonight. It's called Against All Odds. Former New York Times columnist Bob Herbert explores how racism still makes it much harder for African American people to enter the middle class and stay in the middle class. There's a scene in the film where Mr. Herbert drives through his boyhood home of Montclair, New Jersey, reflecting on a moment in the 1960s when his dad's upholstery business is doing well. Montclair is seen as a progressive place, and some of the father's white business associates had some pretty fairly obvious advice for him.
And so they would say, Chester, you have to expand your business. And they'd say, get a bank loan. So funny, you know, get a bank loan. He needed to raise capital, so the answer was get a bank loan. Well, he couldn't get a bank loan. They weren't giving bank loans to guys who look like my father.
Bob Herbert, who's now a distinguished senior fellow with the think tank Demos, came into our New York bureau here. Mr. Herbert, welcome.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
What are some of the systems in America driven by racism that make it so hard for African-American families to go beyond earning an income but really building wealth?
There's a couple of things that you absolutely have to have. One, everybody understands, is a good job. You have to have a decent income. Employment is obviously crucial. But most families who are solidly in the middle class began to build wealth when they purchased that first family home. And that home is essential. So the combination of a good job and that first home where you're beginning to build wealth, that's the underpinnings for a middle-class standard of living. African Americans were barred from most good jobs up until really the latter part of the 20th century, and they were rigidly kept out of decent housing.
And think about the access to capital when it comes to real estate. White family goes in, applies for a mortgage. There was a system set up. But often, a black family can't get a standard kind of mortgage.
Exactly. The standard government-guaranteed mortgages were systematically denied to blacks. And it was actually written into the government regulations because these white families, in an effort to build a middle class, their mortgages were guaranteed by the federal government.
So that's the film's focus, but I wanted to ask you this. There are a lot of white people in America who also feel the U.S. economy is rigged against mm-hmm. them. Why isn't there more common ground on this point?
I think that politicians and others in this country have just exploited the racial divide for, you know, what I consider to be nefarious purposes, but financially for economic reasons. And that is why the folks at the top are doing so extremely well, while the folks in the middle are still struggling and the folks at the bottom are really having a hard time altogether.
Bob Herbert's documentary, Against All Odds, starts airing tonight on the PBS World Channel. Mr. Herbert, thank you.
Oh, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Daniel Ramirez. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.